When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
We just decided to get into it at the start of SmackDown because we were going to have a number one contender match. Also, hello, my friends. It is I, Simon Miller, once again from my strange US location. As you know, I am touring for the last match. This is great. We just watched SmackDown live on Fox. Because I'm a wrestling nerd that usually lives in the UK, it just makes me feel warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum and like I belong to some special kind of group. Don't know what that means, but let's go back to basics and up those downs. But yes, indeed, it was LA Knight versus AJ Styles in the battle of the first names that are just initials. And thanks to the internet, when AJ walked to the ring, I now laugh at his new entrance song because it recently became an internet meme. But if you haven't seen that, it is very funny. Knight was so mad he threw Styles out of the ring when we cut to the commercial break, which must have worked. When we returned, they were just punching each other in the face when they both did cross bodies at the same time. So one, they must have read the other person's script, and two, this would happen in a match later on. What the flub is happening? Fans were super behind LA Knight as well, so let's not pretend that his push or his momentum is losing any time soon. When he took his bum and he placed AJ in the corner, and he just smashed him using his tuchus. And I was like, well, you've got one, you may as well. The thing is, he was getting way too much offense by this point, including a superplex, although I was a bit perplexed by that because it never gets the win. When from nowhere, AJ came back with his reverse somersault DDT. This guy is like 45, 46 years old, and he still does that, and he makes it look prettier than a picture. The dude doesn't make any sense. Eventually, he tried to go for the phenomenal forearm, but LA cut him off and did his yeah elbow too. And again, this is when I knew what the finish was going to be, because the commentators were going like, oh my gosh, LA Knight is going to win. Then he lost. Because as he did go for the BFT, Styles able to roll outside, where he used the top rope as a guillotine. And I guess this must have surprised the referee, because Edge then took his thumb and he poked LA Knight right in the eye, because that meant he had to spiral backwards a bit. He did hit the big old forearm from the top rope. And he got the 1-2-3. So I've seen worse ways for somebody to cheat, although we still treated it like it was the worst thing we'd ever seen. But look what the end result is. Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles is a wonderful way to have Cody's first title defense. And even though you can kind of predict the winner, it's just two forces I want to see come together. Sometimes it really can be that simple. It's getting up. Well, interestingly, it sounded like we were going to get a video for Roman Reigns. Well, that's what Corey Graves said anyway, but actually it was just recapping you with everything that happened last week between Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga, because yeah, he's building a new bloodline. Afterwards, we were outside with Paul Heyman as well, who was watching a car pull up to the arena, and out of that thing came Solo Sikoa, and he is not wearing hoodies anymore. In fact, he was dressed to the nines. He looked wonderful. Tama Tonga then appeared behind Paul Heyman, as I think Solo called him my MFT. And no one ever told us what MFT stood for, so I'm going to pretend it stands for My Friend Tama. Though he wasn't very friendly here, he looked like he was going to kill Paul. Solo also wanted to know where Kevin Owens was on this evening, because of course he feels like he's been disrespected 7 days ago, when he marched off to find him with Heyman. And I tell you, this new version of Solo, totally unhinged. Nick Aldis was then in the ring, because amazingly, WWE had decided to do the exact same thing on SmackDown than they had done on Raw. I'll be honest with you, it was a bit silly. But of course, Triple H did come out much as he had done on Monday to go, oh my gosh, we do have brand new tag team titles. And before we unveil them, can we invite to the ring Grayson Waller and Austin Theory? Because they are now what we are calling the WWE Tag Team Champions. We also got a QR code during the game's entrance. If you did scan that thing, surely this is insinuating that the Wyatt Six are going to be on TV soon, which would be a wonderful tribute to Bray Wyatt. And of course, this time, instead of being all nicey-nice to Hunter, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory pretended they were going to shake his hand.
when they shook each other's instead.
If you are interested too, they are very nice championships, and of course that will be debated online. Nick Aldis was so mad about what they had done to Triple H, he said to them, if you ever do that again, I will make sure you disappear for good. So it's basically saying he's going to kill him, bring down the crime counter. I don't think you're allowed to say things like that. We're also going to go right into our number one contenders match after this, meaning it was identical to what we had done on Raw. In fact, it was so one-to-one, I've got to give it a down. I mean, Raw is 3 hours long. We could have just for 1 week gone, woohoo, hey, this is what we're going to do with all the titles. Like I just said a minute ago, it was just a bit silly. But we then saw Naomi backstage dressed like Tetris because she was about to be interviewed. And as she told us, listen, Bayley is my friend, but it sucks to be her because I'm going to win her title. I'll just give you a small spoiler. She doesn't do it. When we got into this fatal four-way, and it was the New Catch Republic taking on the AOP, taking on the Street Profits, taking on Legado del Fantasma. And man, I tell you, this was absolutely brilliant. Montez Ford and Tyler Bates started off as Tyler tried to tie Montez up before they both did double drop kicks. And the funny thing here is that Montez is so much taller than Tyler, but because Bates moves so fast, he didn't look out of place at all. Although Angel didn't agree, eventually he got in there and he smacked Tyler Bate. Everybody then went after everybody else as Bate was actually going to do the aeroplane spin on AOP's Rezar. But of course, Legado broke that up because they're a couple of assholes. It also meant that we got the big Tower of Doom spot apart from Umberto and Angel, because instead they grabbed Tyler, they just threw him into the pile when they gave him this crazy drop kick from the top of Team of the Turnbuckle that made me scared in my feet. New Catch Republic were then also doing double ankle locks when we had all the teams looking at other teams as they did just rush each other. When the AOP were out of there, everybody paired off with everybody else. It left Berto in the ring with the Street Profits when Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford hit their blockbuster from the top rope, and fair play to Pete Dunne. He broke this up at the 1-2-oo when he grabbed Angelo's fingers and he broke.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I was a bit like, that wasn't very nice. The absolute highlight is when Bate and Dunn did moonsaults off the top rope as Montez Ford came running over the ring and he did his dive too. And the way WWE shot this, well, I'm just going to tell you straight, it was absolutely incredible. Gardner were then wrecking Tyler Bate once again when Umberto did this amazing dive and Angel hit that cool springboard move that he does. But Montez Ford then broke that up at the 1-2-oo when the Street Profits realised, oh my gosh, we can hit our finisher. They got that done. They got the 1-2-3. And they are now your new tag team champions. So we are now going to get them versus Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. But again, if you have 10 minutes today, even if you have 5 minutes, go and watch the finish to this because it is just boom, 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 boom. Like that song from the 90s. They way exceeded my expectations. They're getting one hell of a massive up. Byron Saxton was then talking to Bayley after this. she wanted to talk to Naomi. She now appreciates the fact she's a champion even more because she had seen what happened to Rhea Ripley on Raw. That's why she has to go out there later and defeat Naomi to prove that she is the best. Listen, there was nothing wrong with this, but this was the most generic promo I've seen Bayley probably ever cut. Let's hope she doesn't fall into that rut now. She is a super duper baby face. She can offer way more than this. But again, not good, not bad. Sort of just there. But then saw Solo again. He was so pissed off at Paul Heyman because this guy had over an hour and you still haven't found Kevin Owens. Clearly, Sokoa wasn't going to wait around because he told Paul that he was going to go to the ring. As Heyman basically said, "You are not the actual tribal chief. There will come a time." But once again, Solo looked at him like, "How dare you say that to me? I'll rip your head off." Before they got to the squared circle too, we got this advert telling us that the new women's champion will be determined in a battle royal come Raw. So you'd have to imagine that Liv Morgan wins this and we just do the obvious story. Although Becky Lynch is in it, watch this space. When we finally had Heyman and Solo in the ring, as Paul told us, well, I'm just going to let you in into a little secret. And that's how the bloodline is currently working backstage. Amazingly, this is when the crowd started to chant, "We want Roman." So it took 2 weeks for this storyline to work. And just as Paul was going to continue, Solo snatched the mic from his hand because he ain't taking no more squit. He also was trying to tell us that the dealio was that he had to get rid of one brother to invite a new one into the stable. But you could barely hear a word coming out of his mouth because these fans were booing the hell out of him. So I like this already. Like I say, we've only got a fortnight, and I'm pretty sure this is what WWE wanted. He then doubled down on the fact that Tama Tonga is now his boy and his MFT. When we cut to the entranceway, and Kevin Owens' lifeless body was just thrown out there, because who had been trying to kill him? Of course, it was Tama Tonga. Owens was bleeding too, and as we talked about before, you rarely see that in WWE. And as all these three did the bloodline salute, Kev once again just tried to fight his way back, but the wrestling mats were against him. And Tonga was booked to basically try and murder this guy. Even the commentators were like, "What the hell is wrong with him? He's totally nuts." It ended with Sokoa giving Kevin Owens the spike, and even though Tama had got a chair, it was Sokoa that grabbed and threw out the ring, almost like he, once again, is the brand new tribal chief. And they walked to the entranceway, and they all did the ones. I don't think Reigns is going to be happy about this. So this was yet another good angle in this storyline, and people are desperate to see Roman Reigns again. I think we kind of insinuated that very soon we are going to get Kevin Owens versus Tama Tonga. Not in my wildest dreams did I ever think I'd see that in a WWE. It is getting an up. Another really good bit. It probably peaked right after this too, because Nick Aldis went and grabbed Paul Heyman and dragged him out to the parking lot. He was like, "Do you see this?" When the camera went boom and it flew over here. And we had seen that two vehicles had crashed together, basically telling you the reason Kevin Owens was bleeding is because Tama Tonga had deliberately crashed his car into his. So we got to do it again. There's the crime counter. You're not allowed to do that. Heyman was beside himself as well, so clearly he can't control these animals. When Nick Aldis was like, "You're going to sort this out in the ring next week." So who the flub knows what we're going to get. But once again, brilliant. When somehow the LWO versus Legado del Fantasma feud continues. I'm pretty sure this started before I was born. This week it was Carlito versus Santos Escobar because they wanted revenge for whoever attacked Dragon Lee. And Carlito lost. Whoops. I'm still hoping that Carlito turns heel soon because he's kind of miscast in this role. And he's got that stupid new theme music. And I mean, he was all right here and the match was fine. As I've already insinuated, it's just been going on too long. Basically, he got screwed over when Electra Lopez and Zelina Vega started fighting on the outside. Carlito forgot he was wrestling because he was looking at this, so Santos threw him into the ring post. He hit the Phantom Driver. 1, 2, 3. So even though it was a fine enough match, it does have to get it down because we are past WrestleMania now. And then thinking about it, they settled this at WrestleMania, and yet it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. So that really was the time to finish it. And for whatever reason, we haven't done that once again. Fingers crossed for the heel turn, down. We then got this cool segment though, because we went to hang out in the skyboxes in the arena where Damage Control were being interviewed. And Dakota Kai told us, one, Io Sky will retain that championship. And two, do not forget the Kabuki Warriors are still the tag team champions and they're not going to lose them anytime soon. At that very moment, Jade Cargill's music hit, which was absolutely ridiculous because Jade and Bianca Belair were in the skybox next to them. This is one of those goofy things we do in wrestling, and it just works. But hey, we are telling you the story. These two are about to fight for those belts. And all things considered, Jade and Bianca should probably win. Which also set up our main event for the Women's Championship, because it was Bayley versus Naomi. I thought they had a very good match. Cody also cut a promo in between this from the UK because he now knows he's fighting AJ Styles. And he basically said that AJ is one of the best going and he cannot wait to face him in a wrestling ring, which he will do at Backlash. And I'll bet my life on it. That's big stakes. He's definitely going to get the victory. Bizarrely too, Xia Li and Jinder Mahal were then released from WWE during this. I mean, that didn't happen on SmackDown, but it did break on the internet. And I think Zion Quinn got fired as well. I mean, usually I wouldn't throw these things in there, but as I was watching it live and I was reacting to all of this, I was like, why on earth is this happening now? I suppose by the time you'll see this, you'll know. But right here in my world, I have absolutely no clue. We went and hindered Jinder. In the ring, Naomi and Bayley were both going for the most devastating move in all of sports, an attempt at the surprise roll-up. And as we talked about earlier, when that didn't work, they did double cross bodies. They must have literally watched the first match. Naomi then hit the rear view and went for a proper crossbody, which made me chuckle because that also didn't work. When she hit this awesome springboard facebuster for another near fall, but to be honest, that could be a proper finish. Bells then got her knees up on the split leg moonsault when she climbed the top rope and did this mad macho man elbow halfway across the ring. And she too got a 1-2 ooh. Now look, I never actually thought that Bayley was going to lose the championship for obvious reasons, but they were doing such good work. At least I was invested. Naomi then rolled right into Starstruck, which Corey called a fantastic submission, which made me chuckle. But when Bayley got out of this, they basically fought to the outside. She threw Naomi into Anna the announce table. Well, yes, Tiffany Stratton turned up. She punched her right in the face. So I presume Naomi won by DQ. We were never actually told. In fact, that would be right either, because it would be Bayley that won by disqualification, because she's the one that would be hit. I'm just going to tell you straight. I love Tiffany Stratton, and she was awesome here. But because Naomi and Bayley were cooking, well, I was a little bit disappointed. I also just think for Bayley and her championship, it would have done it the world of good to get a W on this. Although, Tiffany then did lay them both in the ring, and she hit a double prettiest moonsault ever. And I was like, fair enough, that's pretty good. As she shouted, Tiffy time, the SmackDown went off air. So here's the deal. I am going to give it up to the match, because like I say, they were doing great work. And even though I did find the fallout very entertaining, this was probably just the wrong place at the wrong time. Even though I do think it will help Stratton going forward, I just really wanted a finish to this. Sometimes I become a geek, so there's your down. Otherwise though, I thought this was another very strong episode of SmackDown, as we do take all that WrestleMania momentum and we carry it on. And listen, when Roman Reigns does come back, he is going to be so over as a babyface, so the prophecy will have been fulfilled. Skin it up. Now, of course, please do leave me a comment below and let me know what you thought about last night's episode of SmackDown and what you think about all this Bloodline stuff. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Check the video on the screen, which is ups and downs for AEW Dynamite, and connect all the dots. Otherwise, appreciate seeing you. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.